Welcome to Mandarin Baptist Church, where we are the generations declaring the redemptive story of God on everyday mission. Thank you so much for setting aside time to join us as we open Scripture together. Whether this is your first time joining us or if you listen in weekly, we want you to know that we are so thankful you are here. We believe God has something for each of us today. We know God is always working and speaking, and our prayer is that this message will minister to your heart as much as it has with us. Before we get started, there are a couple things for you to know. First of all, we would love to connect with you on a deeper level and even help you take your next step of faith, whatever that might be. A great first step is joining us on campus for one of our worship gatherings on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 10:45 a.m. We would also love to help you get connected to one of our small groups. Regardless of what life stage we are in, we strongly believe that we were not created to go through this life alone. We need people to come alongside of us and to help point each other toward Christ and encourage a deeper pursuit of God in our lives. For more information or questions you might have, please check us out online at mandarinbaptist.org. On our website, you will find groups for every age, as well as dates for events like Discover Mandarin, which is a great way to learn a little bit more about who we are, different ministries we are involved in, and local and global missions partners. You can like, follow, and join a live stream of our Sunday services at facebook.com/Mandarin Baptist Church. So now, as we dive into Scripture today and we hear the truths of God, we pray our lives are shaped by what His Spirit will speak to us. We hope His words will be written upon our hearts and we will move toward Christ as we check out this week's message.
So I would count it joy to open our Bibles today to the second chapter of Acts. Would love to read from that in a few moments. I'll probably read a passage or two leading up to that. I just really am moved by what we're a part of. And so we sang this a moment ago, and I just thought I should read this to set the table for the burgeoning church and what it means to be a part of it and how remarkable the Lord is. And so I'm just praying for each of us today that we will be drawn to the fullness and the prolific nature of who Jesus is. We sang this, "In the morning you rose, all of heaven held its breath till the stone was moved, for the Lamb had conquered death." So that's a pretty big deal. Praise the Lord for that. "And the dead rose from their tombs." Yeah, that's wow. "And the angels all stood in awe, for the souls of those who have come to the Father are restored." So welcome to Restoration, the body of Christ. And this is the part that I was punching my daughter and saying, I have a lyric that is my absolute stunning favorite because it comes out of the resurrection of Jesus, the entirety of nature holding its breath, the stone removed, the conquering of death, the dead and Christ rising from their tombs, which is just phenomenal. The angels in all, the souls of all who come to the Father restored, and the church of Christ was born. And by the way, in doing so, the Spirit lit the flame and just invited us into the body of Christ. So in case you think you're in a smaller story right now, we're not in a small story. We're in the resurrected story of Jesus, and we are the body of Christ who carries that forward in this earth. Glory to God for His church. And oh, Lord, thank you that we get to be a part of it. And so we're just kind of resting now and saying, so what does this look like? And I can't find anything more joyful at the beginning of a year than just to find some soul rest in Acts 2. And what God is doing is He is bringing out the burgeoning church. And so I think most of you know this. And so, again, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 of Acts 2 in a minute. But kind of leading there was this band of 11. There was 12, and it didn't go well with Judas. But there's this band of 11 that have been, along with Judas, 12, living with Jesus, accepting the life-changing opportunity to come and follow him, which he has afforded us as well. Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In doing so, they were invited to just be world changers. And here's what they did. They watched Jesus. They learned from Jesus. They grew in Jesus. They listened to Jesus. They were discovering from Jesus how to love and how to live as he lived as they walked this earth. And this was glorious. And then something kind of turned for them. And it was a very difficult turn because they had sold their possessions. They had followed him. It was a 3-year journey. And in following him, they were watching this miracles happen. And all of a sudden, there's a kiss. There's a betrayal. There are soldiers. There's a cross. There's a death. And there's a burial. And this is tectonic impact upon the disciples because in the midst of all of that, one of them who betrayed him, named Judas, took his own life. Another 11, 10 of the 11, because John hung around. So 10 of the 11 scattered and fundamentally betrayed him. And so they're in this moment of, oh gosh, what do we do? Where have we given ourselves? What is here? How do we move about? And so this is the context of the burgeoning church. And so before the falling of the Holy Spirit, the Lord meets them on a mountainside and lays out something for them. So again, contextualizing this, which I've already done, but bringing us into the story, it was in the middle of frailty and failure and incompetence and incapacity that the Lord stood before them and said, here's what you're going to be about. In Matthew 28, leading up again to Acts 1:8, which was where he said, so here's what I would love for you to know. I have all authority in heaven and on earth, and I am resurrected right now, so hello. Here's what I would love for you to do. I would love for you to go. A better translation would be, as you are going in your everyday experience, I want you to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the very end. What I really am liberated by in that is where these guys were coming from in that. Coming from a place of deep brokenness, deep sadness, deep need for restoration, deeply unsure. And the Lord is standing before them in all of their failures and saying, oh, by the way, here's what we're going to do. I've got all authority in heaven and on earth. I am going to cast you out. You're going to be a witness, according to Acts 1:8. You're going to be a witness locally within your homes, around your city, to the nations, among your enemies, and you're going to be witnesses of this to the ends of the earth. And so I know you're broken right now. I know you're unsure right now, or I may even know that some of you are not even positive that you want to be a part of this right now. Hello and welcome to the kingdom of Christ. You're going to need a little more than you have. And so these guys started to recognize that and recognize frailty, inability. And so they were smart enough to say, I think that we should pray. I think that we should follow what Jesus is inviting us to do. I think that we should seek his face. We should probably bring a few of us together. And so about 120 of them gathered together and began to seek the face of God. And the church was burgeoning. The church was being born. The Savior would light the flame of the church in the midst of all of this struggle. This is a massive call to be witnesses for the kingdom of God, and it would require far more than what they could bring to the table. And so if we're kind of sitting in the room right now and feeling super confident that we can pull anything off, it would be a really great and properly humbling moment to begin to reorient our souls around the full submission and honor and glory and dominion of King Jesus. Say, Lord, I feel like the Great Commission is super familiar to me. I've grown up with this, Lord, being kind of spoken over me in churches all of my life. But I am pretty positive that it is a challenge for me to go to all nations for the sake of your glory and scatter and disciple and make followers of Jesus, growing them up in the grace and knowledge of who you are, because I am pretty much a failure. And the Lord said, good position. I would find great joy in lifting you up and moving you forward for the sake of the kingdom of Christ. I think the disciples and all of that living, learning, growing, watching, being a part of, it was incredible, but also they recognized this need for a mark of heaven on their souls. Something that would say, this is bigger than me, this is bigger than what's going on, and this is really what it means to be a part of the church of Jesus Christ. And so as I was pondering this, I was thinking about Lion King. And so Lion King is now on several iterations right now. It had the live version that popped out a year or two or three ago. I really lose track of time at this point of things I may have watched during COVID and not. So Lion King has this incredible moment. This beautiful moment, if you have not seen the film, you should watch it. And it has this moment when Simba, early in the film, is a little bitty dude. Simba is kind of the main character of the whole thing. He's intended to be the king of the jumble. Jumble, what is the jumble? He's intended to be the king of the jungle, and he's jumbling it. And it's just not going well. And so Simba is, ultimately, there's so many like biblical parallels as you walk through, ranging from not just his momentary lapse that I'm about to share, but I mean, he's completely off where a lot of us are running around in our, as the king of the jungle, or at least that we're called to be. And he's out playing with two vegetarian Hogwarts or whatever they are, and just kind of completely lost in where he is. And they're going like, do you not know who you are? And so in the middle of this moment, which is really incredible, Simba is coming in his early days up against the hyenas, and they're coming and dancing around him and going like, here's a challenge, here's a charge, here we are. And Simba just brings all the heat to the table, right? You've seen this? So he brings everything he's got. He's like, we're going to step into this. I'm going to be threatening in this. I've got all that I've got. And so he just reaches from the depths and he brings out this incredible roar. If you would do it with me, it goes something like this. Thank you so much for the people who've watched the film. That felt very good and excited. And so they just start immediately, the hyenas, which they're gifted at already, start immediately laughing at him. And so he just brings the heat one more time, reaches down from the depths, and he brings out in the second time this awesome meow. And they love it. Then they start talking to each other. He has nothing here. He has no strength here. He has nothing that will mark him. You are weak and you are on your own and you are by yourself and there is nothing to fear in this moment. And so Simba gathers himself and gives it a shot one more time. And when he reaches down into his depths and gives it a shot and he opens his mouth, it is otherworldly. It is an echo and a roar that cannot be imagined. He opens his mouth and his dad is behind him, just bringing the fullness of the power of the king of the jungle. And if there's something that we should learn in this moment, it is this, that we cannot light the flame of the church. We cannot carry forward the flame of the church. But when we align ourselves with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, there is a holy roar that comes out of us as the people of God. There is a strength that far more defines us than what we bring to the table. And I promise you, as the disciples were sitting at this mountainside moment and listening to the Lord tell them that they were going to be people who lit the flame of the church through the power of the Spirit of God, they were asking this question, we have no idea how. Help us. We just scattered all over. Lord, would you help us? And Jesus is pleading with them to move in such a way that they are marked by the presence and the power and the wonder and the glory of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. That the Trinitarian wonder that we sang about would move into the interior life of the body of Christ. And so in this burgeoning church, God does something beautiful. He steps into weakness so that his strength might be perfected. If you rolled into this room this morning going, God, we're longing for a touch or a marking of heaven, you are in a phenomenal posture. of simply coming before the Lord and saying, pleading with you, God, would you move in such a way that it is more than us? In Acts 2, 1 through 4, it says, when the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. I have never failed to read that without being in awe of what it meant to be in one place, all together. Now, physically, they were all together, but I wonder what it looks like for the body of Christ to be in one place spiritually so that we are crying out to the Lord in one place, one heart, one community. This is almost like a fulfilling of the Christological prayer of Christ in John 17. He's just looking, let them be one, Lord. Let them be united, Lord. Let them grow in the grace and knowledge of who I am, Lord. Let this unity be beautiful among the body of Christ. And so they're in one place, and suddenly a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. They saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each of them. And then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit that began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And that's the conclusion of Acts 2, 1 through 4. And it's the beginning of Baptists being incredibly nervous. Like, what are we about to get into? We're talking here about wind, fire, tongue, spirit. I don't know if we talk about this stuff. And so I am far less interested in the phenomena, and I am far more interested in the power and the presence and the provision of Jesus. So here's what I would say just in my thought process. The church is burgeoning, I mean, it's coming alive. God is birthing the church, and he does this through a holy roar. Just this roar of his presence, something supernatural. And so if we can skip past the things that make us nervous, although allowing the Spirit of God and ultimately emptying your hands of self and turning them over, saying, Lord, whatever you long for, I'm in, it should create some holy fear. It should create some holy sense of awe. And some just like, oh God, I'm emptying me, I'm welcoming you, but I'm not reading this passage going, I wonder if we should be pursuing, you know, start a smoke machine so that we can have the Spirit come. So we should light a fire in here. It's not the fire, the tongues, the wind. It's really something more beautiful. Something supernatural came from heaven, invaded men and women on earth, transforming them and igniting the church. And that seems to be the invitation of the body of Christ today if we long to live for more than what we can do. Something supernatural, moving into the middle of the body of Christ, making much of the name of Jesus, and transforming and forever igniting the church. So here's some things to just ponder as we read this, and I'm praying to do this without some kind of emotional reality, but just this is what we need as the body of Christ. Since the Holy Spirit of God is God, then all of them were actually filled with the Holy Spirit. And by being filled with the Holy Spirit, they were being filled with God himself. So we're just kind of running into this thing going, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. According to Acts 2, the ignition of the church was the Spirit of God, or said differently, Paul, when he was teaching Ephesus, he says, I want to paint out a mystery for you that has been hidden for a long season, but is now prolific, and it is your power source. You should press yes to this button over and over. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This reality of this untapped presence of God himself. And it says they were filled with God. And immediately, this is shocking when you're filled with God. I know. But immediately they began confessing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And immediately they began to do exactly what he told them that they would do in Matthew 28 and in Acts 1:8. They became witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And perhaps the reason that we're struggling to be witnesses is we're not igniting the power of the Spirit of God. And there is not a marking on our lives that says only God is moving. It could not be explained in any other way. Give me at least one amen out of that. Thank you. Like, Lord, what do we need as the body of Christ to be able to say, this can't be explained? Here's what's beautiful, and there were so many data points that I enjoy reading Jesus nerds, and there were so many data points that they pointed out of the growth of the church and what percentage it was, and there's really just not agreement, so I just went with the word exponentially. And so I love this. Immediately begin proclaiming the gospel. In the days to come, they scattered from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And so we're a generational church. We value that generations declare the redemptive story of God. That's just the heartbeat here. And here's something that we should get a little bit excited about. Within one generation, the church grew so exponentially from where they started, and God was fulfilling his promises. I've read anything from 400 times in growth of the church, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of the hope and promise, to super much more big numbers than that. That sounded very, very academic. Super much more big, scholarly. Here's what God was doing. He was fulfilling the promise of his presence among his people. And the church struck a flame. This is a self-denying, spirit-empowered disciples of Jesus who were making disciple Jesus, who were living the way among them. They were fishing for men and women. There was an abandonment to Jesus, and it was just beautiful. And we should expect no less as his people. And so there's like a little phenomena happening in Jacksonville that I tend to compare, and I think it might even roughly compare to the typical church response. You can decide whether it's a good illustration or not. But in the last little bit, in the last like 5 weeks, things that are going to happen in 2023, they've grown by 38% among this group of people that are incredibly excited around here. Like future opportunities and growth is at a 38% year over year right now. That's pretty exciting. So there's markings of a movement everywhere you go, even on church signs. This is crazy. Like church signs running around our city are throwing up this exciting stuff about this particular phenomenon. There are ways we're communicating about this with each other. Like it's unique ways that you look at one another and you know just immediately when you communicate. It's like throwing up the fish sign, you know, among the early church. So you throw up the sign at some point with someone and bonded in this little movement when you just come up and you're walking down the street and you just go, Duval! No one is with me. This little movement is happening. It's really interesting. Like, it's packed. Not just 38% growth over ticket sales for next year, which I've gotten from the Champions Club, but the stadium is packed with people. There's such a sense of excitement. You're walking around the city. Everybody's got a shirt now. Everybody's a fan. This is awesome. And I'm just thinking, like, it's everywhere. And so for me, last Saturday, about 11:23 p.m., was pure sheer bedlam. This is crazy. The lady in front of me was weeping. I'm not kidding. Like, weeping. We've suffered so much. It was like this weeping moment. People were hugging. There was a lady that I can't even tell what she said. It wasn't like crude, but it's too crude for church. So it's church crude. But she's walking out going, I was kissing people all around me. That's the clean version. And so, and it was just like this amazing joy that was happening. And then yesterday happened. And then immediately I looked on, I do not do social network at all anymore. And I looked on last night just to read. And I was like, this is why I don't. And I don't. So like there's this emotional moment. It captures everybody. And then they just go negative again. That's not the work of the Holy Spirit. See, these guys were like driven with the marking of Jesus for the rest of their days. It wasn't like a bump because we're winning. It was a bump because he's won. It was a bump because the kingdom of Christ is victorious and reigns over us. And it meant in the losses, it was also their lives that were lost as they lived for the sake of the kingdom of God. This is not an emotional, I'm going to wear black and teal. This is an emotional and beautiful and deeply, deeply interior life reality of the resurrected Jesus living among us. And it's a covenant that we share that is written in blood that holds the body of Christ together. And it's a roar that happens among us that far exceeds an emotional response or a transient situation. It is a covenantal bond held together by King Jesus. And he invites us in to just say, I just want you to imagine the Spirit of God filling the body of Christ for the sake of the hope of the gospel. So God's church is still burgeoning. It's still growing in him. He's still creating his roar among his people. And I like to get to things that I can kind of wrap my head around. So I want to just start and end here and then talk about some more of this among us in 2 weeks. Next week, we're just going to get all over this beauty of, Lord, you've called us to carry the gospel in our city, among our enemies, among the hurting, to the nations. And we just want to celebrate that for a day. We're so excited. In 2 weeks, I'd like to come back and say, what's this look like for us? This looks like every disciple making a disciple. Every one of us living out a rule of life that we've talked about here for a while now. To know Jesus and love like Jesus and to live as Jesus lived. That's the invitation. To know Jesus, to be a people who consistently say to know Jesus is the, for me, the Greek word is ginosko, to sit before him and say, I don't want to know about you from somebody. I am going to sit in your presence until I know you. Know is an experiential, interior knowledge of Jesus. Out of that, Lord, I will love like you. And the natural byproduct is that I will carry and live as you lived, carrying your name to the nations. Those 11 guys could not, let's just go with Peter, could not even speak the name of Jesus to a child without cursing. And all of a sudden, through the filling of the power of the Spirit, he began to proclaim Jesus, bringing 3,000 to salvific knowledge of King Jesus in a very short sermon. Glory to God for short sermons. There's this power that is a marking of heaven that comes among us. And so I begin to ask, so what was it that made up the early church? And we get this in Scripture. If you'll stay in Acts 2 and just visit with me in 42, I'll read this in a moment. I just want you to know that the God in Matthew 16 who promised to build his church is the same God who will move his church forward on mission in this city, in Jacksonville in 2023. It's just it's a real reality of us asking what were the habits of the body of Christ so that they remained abiding, if you want to use a biblical word, in the presence and person and power of Jesus so that they did not work on this themselves, but they worked out this salvation with fear and trembling so that Christ was made known through the body of Christ. And so they just began to say, we're here to make disciples. I'm reading right now a Richard Blackaby book called Unlimiting God, I think is the title of it. He's like, are we really understanding Ephesians 3 where the Lord is saying he is a God of exceeding abundance if you will seek him? More than you can ask or imagine if you will pursue him. More than you could ever conjure in your own way. And then he says, he moves over to Jeremiah and he says, there's a prayer that is an untapped prayer for the body of Christ. Call to me and I will answer you and I will tell you great and mighty things you do not know. And he's saying essentially by us living in our own power and own strength and failing to call unto God, we are not aware of how God is moving, how he is working, and what he's doing. So call to me and I'll answer you. And I will tell you great and mighty things that you do not currently know. And all I've asked of the Lord as I quoted those two passages for them to just find root in your heart so that we as the body of Christ could advance forward calling to the Lord for what we currently don't know but should. Amen. And he then moves us in and says, here's what I want you to know is the center of the body of Christ. And so in Acts 2:42, after the falling of the Spirit, they have a great sermon. The church explodes. And then they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And then the Spirit of Christ continued to guide them. If I could give you a simple sentence from Henry Blackaby, it would be this. To be able to practice this is to understand the root of it all. Christianity is just a love relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. God, I want to know you through being just devoted to your word and the people who make up the faith family that I'm a part of. God, I want to be devoted to the breaking of bread and remembering you are the center of all things. And God, I want us to be known as a house of prayer. I want us to be known as the people who are just weird in our prayer. We're so passionate to hear your voice. This is the applied definition of discipleship, the Jerusalem church. Worshiping, learning, relating, sharing, serving, evangelizing, praying, and going to the ends of the earth. This is God's design, to know Jesus, love like Jesus, and to live as Jesus lived. I would love for you to wrestle with this. And so over the last 2 days, since I sent this to Garrett, I've messed with it. You're welcome to shoot the screen on. It's not very well written. And so here's just the four things that the early church was devoted to. I would love to read them and to pray for us and then to move out as the body of Christ. First, they're steadfast in the apostles' teaching. Because that's true, they're engaging the word of God as often and in as many different ways as possible. And they're speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And this is the nature of the church. The gospels are central. The teachings of the apostles are central. The word finds rich dwelling in the body. Second, they're of one mind and one cord, one life, and they are committed steadfastly to beautiful fellowship with Christ at the center. One of the greatest responses to this particular devotion of the early church, which is devotion of the church today, would be for unity to be abundant in the body of Christ, and where it is not existent, for you to submit to the Holy Spirit and ask how you can provide reconciliation today, in the next 10 minutes, by the Spirit of God and for the glory of God. Number three, Jesus is our daily bread and our living water. We savor the sharing of communion in remembrance of the body and the blood of Jesus given for us. There is no greater central story of the church than Jesus Christ. So we remember that often. We live in his presence, devoting ourselves to prayer. I mean, we're like known as a house of prayer, which binds us together in Christ, and it binds us together with one another. And so this is born from God, born from above, born from the Father, born from the Son, born from the Spirit, and it is life breathed through the Spirit of God. He is at work, and he invites us to attune our hearts to be where he is in the middle of the most beautiful, redemptive, reconciling, rescue mission that we can imagine. We will, in the midst of this, look around and say, God, we are seeing things that we could have never known. Lord willing, we will be a people who have a mark that is far beyond what we might be able to do, and it is the mark of heaven on our lives. The power of the Spirit among the body of Christ, where God the Father, Son, and God the Spirit are magnified and glorified, all of them crying out, Jesus Supreme, oh, wow. Amen.
Thank you again for listening in to what God is doing here at Mandarin. We hope this is just the beginning to the gospel conversations we have and will share in through our weeks. We never want this to be the end of what God is doing, but just another launching pad for his glory and renown to be central in our lives and relationships. Again, we would love to help you take your next step of faith, possibly here with us as part of our Mandarin faith family. You can visit us online at mandarinbaptist.org and facebook.com/Mandarin Baptist Church to see what your next step of faith could be. We thank you again for joining us, and we hope to see you soon.